BoxingGlitch.com.
What broke him down? Was it just the body punching? I was hitting him with body punching. I heard him actually crying in there. You're saying your big was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen? And clap the fourth round on.
BoxingGlitch.com.
So that you knew you had him by that time.
Absolutely.
I knew you were puffing and taking those punches.
Beyonce Productions.
Making woman gestures like,
Let's go, champ.
It's the champ. Keep sharing the champ. With the fake champ. With Sally, my nigga, go.
BoxingGlitch.com. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a dream. You don't have to pinch yourself. Yes, another episode of TBV, but this time the whole cast is here with me. I got Steven, the producer, and good Dr. MD. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Let's head on over to the good Sunshine State for the good doctor. Let's give him a proper introduction. Boxing MD, what's going on?
Is that a first statement to me? You have to be honest with yourself.
What's going on, Ness? And this weekend, Eric Molina has another shot at greatness by facing the British heavyweight superstar in Anthony Joshua. So we'll talk about it later, but Eddie Hearn, who's been very critical of Eric Molina's physique and boxing pedigree, finds him deserving to be in the ring on a pay-per-view headline fight versus Anthony Joshua.
And you know, this thing just doesn't, it doesn't work. This is like peanut butter, no jelly, cereal, no milk. TBV, no Steven, it just wouldn't be right.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm so excited for this weekend. Eric Molina, another shot of greatness, you're right. And I'm excited because I think that he'll be a good kind of litmus test for Anthony Joshua, see where he stands amongst the heavyweight champions.
Well, let's jump right into it. We decided to obviously give you guys an individual preview and prediction show on Eric Molina taking on Anthony Joshua for the IBF strap here December 10th, which we will be able to see live on Showtime. So set your DVRs because December 10th is going to be so much boxing. I'm going to pass it to, I guess, MD and see. MD, tell me, what kind of threat does Eric Molina pose to an Anthony Joshua, who's a gold medalist? He's obviously a guy that all the experts have been picking for quite some time to be the guy. And here we are in his 18th fight. And, you know, this mediocre, without any disrespect to either man, but mediocre title defense is being titled as something big. And that is something great for us because he's like a heavyweight version of almost Canelo. He has a country behind him for sure. And, you know, he's selling 500,000 plus pay-per-views, selling out arenas. I mean, does Eric Molina pose some sort of threat to stop that, to derail that Anthony Joshua hype train?
Well, it is funny, though, that it seems like they're feasting on our heavyweights, right? That Eddie Hearn is feasting on our leftovers, right? We always talk about, you know, bringing guys over there, but he's found a way to bring Charles Martin, Dominique Brazil, and now Eric Molina, all definitely in the top 10 U.S. heavyweights, right? That's inarguable, right? So obviously the guy who's fighting in Australia or New Zealand is probably the best American heavyweight besides Wilder and Andy Ruiz Jr. But I think that the only reason he's able to sell this fight is because the whole Klitschko fiasco, because he's selling this fight based on the at least perceived notion that this fight this year was supposed to be Vladimir Klitschko, the future Hall of Famer. So at the end of the day, if he's pressed of these questions, he's going to say the same thing. It's like, look, like we had this time. This is the best available opponent for this fight. And we're giving the fans what they, you know, the best available fight. So that's Eddie Hearn for you.
Okay, now you can answer the question, Mr. Negative. Does Eric Molina pose a threat to Anthony Joshua?
He has a puncher's chance.
Jesus, I knew I should have said out loud, outside of the typical puncher's chance.
No, I don't think he does. I think that he does not provide a legitimate threat to him.
And why? Why? This is a preview show. What about those guys that believe in the good doctor and maybe want to make their bets based off of your picks? Why is Eric Molina not a live underdog?
Because I think that Anthony Joshua is a power bulldozing type of fighter who is a little robotic, moves straight forward. And I think it would take a slick boxer to give him issues. Like, I think Tyson Fury would beat him. I think even Wilder at this point would give him issues and possibly could beat him. I don't think that Eric Molina, who is a relatively flat-footed fighter who has power but is there to be hit and also has been knocked out by much lesser fighters in Chris Areola, I don't think that he poses much of a threat. And if he's going to try to win the fight, I think it'll be an early night for him. So I'll give my prediction over under rounds in a second. But to be honest, I don't think Eric Molina has a great chance. I think that he's going to come to him, try to knock him out, and I think he's going to get knocked out in return to that.
All right, MD. Well, let's see. Put your good PhD brain to work. What does Eric Molina need to do to win this fight?
He needs a knockout win.
So you're giving him no shot outside of a miracle?
I mean, do you consider Eric Molina a extremely conditioned fighter?
I'd say he's more conditioned than Dillian White and Derek Chisora and Chris Areola. And I don't know who else out there that doesn't really come in. Derek Rossi. Come on, help me.
So is your perception of the atomic win, does that change your opinion in giving him a little better option because he's able to hurt a cruiserweight? Because I do believe that Anthony Joshua's chin is not even as good as Wilder's chin, who people used to question. But we've seen Anthony Joshua knocked out clean with headgear. And we've seen Dillian White, who may be even a lesser fighter than Eric Molina, hurt Joshua. So
all right, then. So then you should be giving Eric Molina more of a shot. I'm not understanding.
Yeah, and that's why I said my key to victory is for him to come to Anthony Joshua, come within his range and try to put pressure on him. That is his key to victory.
Steven, you're the Mexican on this show. Tell me, how does Eric Molina beat Anthony Joshua? How does he become the first Mexican heavyweight ever? And this guy doesn't even have an amateur background.
He's got to hope that he can last into the later rounds of the fight. Anthony Joshua hasn't been past the seventh as far as what I'm seeing and as far as from what I've seen from him personally. I know for a fact that Eric Molina can get as far into the 10th round and still have knockout power. Yeah, you could say it was against a cruiserweight, but at the 10th round, when both guys are tired from their punches, Joshua never going into the deep waters, who knows if his chin is or if his stamina is able to withstand punishment at that later stage of the fight. I really think that Eric Molina has gotten better since the Areola fight. If you look at the Areola fight, he's flinching every time Areola throws a punch. You watch his latest victory, he's calm, he's cool. He kind of has that little, left arm down guard in the body and the right arm up, and he was catching things. You could tell he learned a lot from the camp with Wilder, in my opinion. And he has steadily gotten better. He's continued to get chances. Maybe he's bought into his own hype a little bit, that he's a legitimate challenge and contender. I'm hoping, though, that he doesn't mentally kind of implode and think, oh, man, that Adamic victory was – you saw the way how he acted after that fight. He got real emotional. It was the biggest win and accomplishment of his career. I'm hoping that he's not satisfied with that he wants to keep going and get that title and be the first Mexican champion heavyweight. But to be honest with you, I see Anthony Joshua. He's not just a plotter puncher. So he's not going to outbox him. Anthony Joshua throws combinations and he does follow through when he hurts you. He chases you to the ropes and he bangs on your body. Eric Molina has a good body punch as well. And he's even starting to implement feints in the Adamic fight. So maybe if he's able to he got to stay off the ropes. If he's able to stay in the center of the ring, use that new technique, maybe shoulder roll a couple tough shots, really bang to the body early, and hope that he can last through the later rounds and then start breaking down Joshua, maybe in 11 or 12. But I do agree that he has to get a knockout. I don't see him outboxing Joshua.
And I know what you're saying, but I think the problem with the shoulder roll, especially with a fighter like against a guy who does have supreme power
and speed, Joshua is faster. It's harder to shoulder roll someone who's faster.
Even with the even if the shoulder roll, right, your key is to you're going to get partially hit with the right hand sometimes, and your shoulder might block. But Joshua has that type of power that he could partially block it with the shoulder and the glove and still get knocked out. So
he might straight up just dislocate his shoulder from swinging at it all day.
Exactly. So I hear what you're saying, but I think that his best way to win is to face him head on and try to hit his chin. And I know, you know, that doesn't seem like you have to be brave to get inside a large body and a powerful fighter like Anthony Joshua, but I see that being his only method to victory. And I'm still question, you know, you question his cardio, and that's rightfully so, but I definitely still question Joshua's chin.
I'm a firm believer in going to the body early, especially against someone who is younger, stronger, faster than you. If you want to have any kind of success against that type of person, you got to go to the body early and have a good solid body attack.
Speaking about his body, Ness, go ahead.
Well, yeah.
I want to hear you talk about Joshua's body.
Oh, no, Joshua, there's nothing to say. Dude's perfect shape, man. Perfect shape.
He looks like he's training for Mr. Olympia and training for the heavyweight title.
But you know, I went back and watched the Dominic Brazil fight because that was the one to go the most rounds. Steven, how many rounds did the Brazil fight go? Was it six or seven?
Seven, I think.
And
Andy's right. It was seven.
He's fluid. He came out in the first round. I heard people saying that he was he's a slow starter. I felt like he started pretty fast in the Brazil fight. And I think he's gonna need to start fast to score a big knockout versus Eric Molina. Eric Molina was caught cold. Not really cold because he had hurt Chris Areola in that fight. And then Chris came back and was able to hurt and stop Eric Molina. But that was a very, like Steven said, a novice Eric Molina, one that didn't have many amateur fights and one that didn't have many pro fights. And, you know, he was with Don King. Don King has to get you whatever he can get you, you know, hence Eric Molina being the new road warrior, right? Here he is once again traveling now to the United Kingdom when he just came from Poland after beating Thomas Adamek, who MD doesn't really give him much credit, but you got to understand, not many guys beat Adamek, and the guys that have been great fighters. Vitaly, who else? You know, what's this light heavyweight's name? Chad Dawson was the first one to ever beat him. And Chad, at one point, was pound for pound and undisputed at light heavyweight.
Yeah, Arthur Shpilka and Vyacheslav Glaskov also beat him, right?
Get
recently.
Out
of here. Really? Thomas Adamek?
Probably recently, because he's like Roy. He's like Roy at this point. You know, they're getting –
They both beat him in 2014.
Okay. Yeah, but Adamek's in a similar situation to what's his name? Steve S.S. Cunningham, that he was never meant to move up to heavyweight frame-wise. But, of course, you move up to heavyweight because you want to, you know, feed your family and make, you know, your financial legacy for yourself, because the money is at heavyweight. So I never thought Adamek was big enough to compete at heavyweight, although he did have skills at cruiserweight.
But his skills at heavyweight still made him a decent heavyweight. He did very well versus a prime, not weight wise, but prime Areola back then on HBO. I just want to remind everyone that you know, hitting the thumbs up is like saying hello to us over here, saying that you appreciate that we're doing an early show, because maybe you guys are a bit confused. This is just an extra one, right? Because there's so many fights today at 7 p.m., it's going to be difficult for MD and Enrique and myself and even Steven to give his picks and his breakdown and his preview. So what we did is we kind of separated the bigger fights so that we can condense our talking, open the phone lines up around 7:30 to get more picks, because guess who's here? Steven's here. And you know what that means when Steven's here? It means that Sunday's Crow Day becomes very fun day for us, because he has a list of all you naughty guys, and we're checking it twice, so don't worry. Now, let's keep moving on. What is the over-under? Did you find out the over-under on this one, MD? How could anyone make a couple of dollars if Eric Molina happens to get lucky? Because I do think Eric Molina has a shot. I'm not picking him to win, but I think he has a shot, right? He needs to win. He needs to last a couple of rounds. He got to get out that first, second, and even third round. Man, if he could get to the fifth and sixth, that would be good. You know, he was able to last how many rounds with Deontay Wilder? Didn't he make it to the ninth round with the Bronze Bomber? And that's the Bronze Bomber, right? So this is another reason why that fight is good. I mean, Anthony Joshua has an opportunity to make a statement with a good, solid win over, you know, Eric Molina, especially in the fashion that it comes. It could be quite a statement in the boxing world. Now, Eric Molina, he's not the Eric Molina from Chris Arreola fight. Just understand that. This is Eric Molina with a bit of money now. He was able to open up his own gym. He's training more frequently after losing to Deontay Wilder in how many rounds? Was it nine, Steven? After losing to Deontay Wilder, he's become Deontay's chief sparring partner. You know, I've seen him there for two separate camps. And, you know, Molina stays in shape. He's been in training camp with numerous other heavyweights. Now, you know, I'm not picking him, but Buster Douglas happened, right? You never know. And if you're going to get Joshua, I mean, it's going to be now when he's green, 17-0, right? So, I mean, I think he does pose a threat. I seen him hurt Wilder. I seen him hurt Arreola. And many people don't hurt Arreola, have they? Yeah, probably now he's been hurt. But, you know, way back when Eric Molina fought him, Arreola was a pretty badass heavyweight. He was just always out of shape, so we could never see his full potential. MD, did you figure out the over-under yet?
Well, before I go to the over-under, do you realize that Buster Douglas, and I saw someone say something about this, but Buster Douglas, of course, was an underdog against Mike Tyson, but do you realize that he was coming off wins versus off Trevor Burbeck and Oliver Mikel before he fought Mike Tyson? So Mike Tyson was deemed as a beast, but like it wasn't like Buster Douglas is Eric Molina. No offense to Eric Molina, so I don't even see it being a Buster Douglas scenario. Also, Anthony Joshua does not have, at least perceived to seem, the lifestyle problem that Mike Tyson had. But the over-under is at 4.5 rounds. If you bet the over, it is plus 150. If you bet the under, it's minus 180. Now, Ness and Steven are saying if I could go over, but to be honest, I think that the only chance that Eric Molina has is to an early knockout. And I see that I really see Anthony Joshua finishing him in the third round. So, in my opinion, I bet the under at minus 180.
I think that's wrong advice for Eric Molina. Not the betting advice for Eric Molina to try to get rid of Joshua early, quote unquote, cold, catch him while he's cold. I think that's wrong. If you watch that Brazil fight, Brazil didn't even throw punches, but he was inching forward in that first round. And right away, the first punch that landed for Joshua was a nice, sharp left hook. Then that left hook repeatedly landed throughout that round. So in the first round, he's wide awake. He's still very much dangerous. And at this point, he's the bigger puncher. If I'm Molina, I want to fucking get the big man who got all the muscles tired. Let's get the oxygen out the muscles and the muscles breathing and begging for oxygen. Let's jab them to the body. Let's jab like we're Floyd. Let's move around on our toes. Let's let the fucking fans boo because we're here to win a fight. We're not here to win a fan. We're here to get the belt and be the first heavyweight from Mexico. Bottom fucking line. You got to jab this guy.
I think Eric Molina is American. I just think he's Mexican-American. You
know, so. Nez, dude, like if you've been going night classes with MD, you're fucking using scientific exploration through your like elaborate breakdowns. I'm loving it, man. Yeah, take the oxygen out. But I want to backtrack to the comparison towards like the Tyson-Douglas thing. So Tyson's mind was kind of distracted. That was kind of the underlying story of that fight. If you think about Anthony Joshua, he's been mentally preparing to fight Klitschko, like one of the best of the last, you know, couple of decades, arguably one of the best of all time in the division. So do you go from mentally preparing to fight the toughest to now someone who's barely in the top 10 of the U.S.? Like maybe you lose, maybe you don't get up for that fight the way you got up for Klitschko. Is that going to do you think that's going to help Eric Molina's chances?
Well, MD, there goes your storyline. Credit our producer. I just want to remind everybody, hit that thumbs up button because we want to get this out to as many people as possible. That helps us out with new callers and things like that. Listen, speaking of callers, let's jump out to one just to break things up. We still got a couple of other topics to discuss, like the big man himself. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Bomb Squad!
That's right. Deontay Wilder saying that Joshua's been feeding on D-level opponents. Now, I know that MD can definitely debate that, but you're going to have to wait for that because we got to get to these calls. We're going to go to Coach Mitty. Talk to me, Coach Mitty.
Yo, what's up, Ness? What's up, TBV? I agree with you, Ness. I think, like, you know, in the heavyweight division, every fighter has, like, at least a punch or stance, right? And I think Molina is a little bit better than most people give him credit for. But to be honest, it should be an Anthony to win, and it should be an easy win as well. But, you know, it would be good at least to see him tested. I want to see him tested. But, you know, I don't see Molina winning that win, that fight. That's my assessment of that fight. The big story that I want you guys to talk about, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it looks like the Derek Chisora.
Not for the show. This is a specific show. Save it for the later show. I heard what you're saying. I appreciate
We did see the drama. We did see the drama. We did a show on it actually. So
he's going to say that it seems to be. He's going to say that it seems to be off the.
It's not about the drama. It might be called off. Yeah.
Well, it should be. But listen, you have a really bad connection, Coach Mitty. Check your email. Also, I emailed you earlier this week.
And Ness, I apologize. I apologize shutting that caller down, but this is a short show.
You're absolutely right. And show, people know that. That's exactly why we went above and beyond. We're obviously working overtime to separate each big fight to give you guys that you know needed time to that subject. But to Mitty's point, listen, the British board, they're very strict anyway. Some of these guys get suspended for cursing. So if Chisora gets suspended and this fight is off, they're right. I mean, he threw a table, dude. Look at one of those legs. I know it's a little folding table, probably with a black apron on it or tablecloth or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But the point still is one of the legs still could hit someone in the skull. And you know what I mean? That dude I know he's selling the fight, and I like it. I was entertained, okay? I love that Dillon White. I like Dillon White more. I don't want them to take this fight off, actually, because I want to see what this one is going to look like in the ring, because Dillon White just stood there, and even when the table came down, he never flinched. He knew for some way that table was not going to hit
him. Yo, those memes were awesome.
Yes. I mean, I watched.
And the one of a. And the one of Eddie Hearn, you see all those memes?
Yes, Eddie Hearn. Oh, my God. Eddie Hearn looked the scaredest, but he was also alert. So it was beautiful, I'm telling you.
He was also the one directly underneath that table. Like, it was almost like –
because of him, he just was like, huh? He was hands in the air.
Dude, that's why the promoter – young and strong like the fighter. If that was little Bob Arum, Bob, man.
Oh, my God. God bless Bob. There is a God, okay? Bob Arum is 85 years old today. Happy birthday to Bob Arum. As a matter of fact,
shout out to Bob Arum.
Everybody, shout out to Bob Arum. 85 years old and still slick enough to sign Joseph Parker, who's fighting Andy Ruiz. So either way, he's got a heavyweight champion. Listen, let's get to some more callers here. We're going to go. Oh, I'm happy to see that name. Look at that. Sweet. Let's see.
I told y'all a long time ago the Kirkland will go down three rounds.
All right, man. Down goes Kirkland. Smack me up.
Next, I got milk, baby.
Yeah, baby, it's the milkman. I'm back. The phone lines dropped, man, before I got in when y'all had the show on Chisora. But real quick on that, I like the selling of the fight, man. We need more of that, man. Nowadays a lot of guys are just reserved and we don't have any excitement. You know, we need drama, man. look at the reality shows nowadays. This shit's full of drama. That's why our girlfriends and our wives are glued to the TV. They love the drama, man. Wrestling, WWE, full of drama. We need people to sell, man. So I love it. As far as Anthony Joshua and Melina, I'm picking Joshua. I just think he might just be a little too much for Melina. Melina's a wild card, though, man. You know, he beat Thomas Adamick, who is a really good fighter, but he is a smaller dude, but he has beaten Thomas Adamick did beat some named guys, so I don't know. I think if Melina is going to win, he needs to box him, take him into the deep water, see if he can get him tired. You know, Joshua's a muscly dude. He usually doesn't fight, you know, a lot of rounds, so I think those are his keys to success. So, but with all that said, I think Joshua's going to win. So that's my call.
Milkman, thank you for the call. Alumni around here. We're going to go to our next caller is 580. He's an unknown. Are you a first-time caller? First-time caller.
There. This is Anton, first-time caller.
All right, my friend. How long have you been listening to TBV?
I've been listening since last February. I found you guys on Stitcher.
Oh, on Stitcher. Cool, cool. Man, you have a bad connection. Is that some sort of broadband or what is it? Getting towards a window if it's a cell phone, you're kind of chopping up a little bit. But if you've been listening for a year, you know the tradition. You know what's coming next. I'm going to hit this first-time caller intro. And you no longer are amateur, my friend, because this is your pro debut.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Shit, man, you got a bad connection, brother. You might want to call back in. How about that? Hang up, call back in. We got the producer. We will find you because we can't even hear your name. Go for it. We're going to go to Rod from Philly. Rod from Philly, let me get to you. Go.
Hold on, Rod. I got to play that one more time. One more time. Sorry about that. Now you're live.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Thanks.
What's
going on, guys? Yeah, so I think this fight's going to go the same way as the, ironically enough, the Dillian White fight. I think Melina, since he has been training with Wilder, and he did look good, you know, in his fights that he has lost. He hasn't looked like a bad fighter for a guy with no amateur experience. So I think he's gonna have some success with Joshua. I think that overhand right, I think that's gonna land and hurt Joshua, kind of like Dillian White did, because he relies on that shoulder too much to block punches. So I think it might be able to land on top of the head. And I feel like he's just gonna go the same way as the Dillian White fight.
90 seconds.
At least 6 or 7 rounds. So that's about it. I don't see too much competition coming out of Melina besides maybe 4 rounds. That's about it.
Mm, 4 rounds. So you don't think he poses any sort of threat?
I think he can hurt him maybe once and just, you know, stun him, because I mean Joshua's chin is a little suspect. I mean, I just haven't seen it tested the way I think it needs to be for him to be.
60 seconds.
I just don't see Melina doing it, being able to get in and do anything. You know, I just don't see it, because Joshua, he poses a threat from his height, and people don't want to come in.
All right, really quick, let me interrupt you to tell everyone listening that you must press 1 time. All you guys that already press 1, don't touch it again, because you will get yourself out of the queue. There's about 30 seconds left on those phone lines, and we're cutting them, so only the VIP that press 1 stick around with us. That being said, Rod, what do you think about
Bomb Squad?
Deontay Wilder saying that Joshua is the one feeding on D-level opponents.
10 seconds.
Man, I don't know. That's a tough one, because, I mean, who's the toughest test? Dillian White? You know, and Dillian White has just as many fights as he does, or a little bit more.
You have to remember the fact that Joshua's had the belt only for, what, two fights? Wilder's had the belt for five fights. So I think Joshua's being – I mean, I think Wilder's being a little hypocritical. Also in the sense that he fought Eric Molina about the same time after he got the belt. So, I mean, what is it? Are you fighting bums too?
Well, but he got the belt. He got the belt from Bermain Stiverne, and he and Joshua got it from Charles Martin. Who, come on, I mean,
he had the money. But I'm saying that the fighting Eric Molina about the same time in which after they got the belt, right? A few fights after, so he's about to fight the same dude that Wilder fought. So either they're both feasting on D-level opponents, or neither are, in my opinion.
I mean, not by choice, I would say, because, I mean, there's not too many people lining up to fight Wilder or Joshua. So.
All right.
Yeah, that's my take on it.
Well, all right, Rod. Thank you for calling in. Guess who's here on the early check-in? I hope you're coming back around 7 p.m., class inbound. Talk to us, my friend.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's up with the early show? Are y'all busy later on, or what's going on?
No, we'll be here at 7. This is just extra courtesy of Patreon and everything. But the thing is, this is a big fight. I mean, Joshua's a star. We can't deny his star power. When Canelo farts, we do a show. So I think that Joshua deserved his own show as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anthony Joshua is a huge star in the UK. He absolutely is. He'll definitely be a big one for a while. But in terms of Wilder and Joshua, like they've both fought the same level of competition up to this point. Hold on. I mean, so Wilder, like I said, I'm rocking Team Wilder, but, I mean, he can't make a comment like that because, I mean, they're basically like Dominic Brazil and Dylan White, and like they're about the same level of like.
Hell no! Wait, so stop it,
Dominic
stop
Brazil.
It.
You wouldn't compare it to like John Duhapis or
hell
like
no.
Eric Molina, and now
hell
Josh
no.
is gonna fight him.
Hell no! Look at Duhapis's last win. You kidding me?
Well, before Duhapis got that win, what was he known for?
No, that was the thing. Before he got that win, we thought he was a bum because he lost to Wilder, who's probably going to be one of the best heavyweights, okay? And he got through a bunch of rounds with Wilder beating on his face. Then after that beating, he still was able to win some sort of interim title and put himself back in the rankings, whereas Charles Martin is probably insane trying to do a rap video. Dominic Brazil probably went back to Brazil, okay? So you tell me who's...
You can't blame him that he got paid. Like, he got that retirement money. He got that $5 million or whatever the fuck he got. So
No. What that proves is that Deontay Wilder's fighters on his resume are actually fighters who lose and try to win again. You know, Eric Molina, his hashtag is the art of bouncing back. That's exactly why
he's... Except Malik Scott, right? Except Malik Scott, right?
That's exactly why he's in another title shot, and that's exactly why people are saying this is probably Joshua's best opponent till date. Why? Because he's been in the ring with Deontay Wilder and been in the ring with Chris Areola and beat Adam Mick and things like that. Martin, Brazil, they ain't do nothing. Brazil is a fucking product of PBC, and that's why all the haters who talk shit about PBC, they don't see what PBC does. That's what it fucking does. It gives a kid who didn't even win a medal in the fucking Olympics a super duper payday versus a heavyweight champion in another country. And now we forever will know Dominic Brazil's name. God bless his soul. I hope he comes back. But let's be real. These guys are getting paid to fight Joshua. Eric Molina probably is not getting a fraction of what those guys got. And he's going again on the road. Let's be a little more respectful is all I'm saying. I think he has a shot.
Okay. So like back on this, like maybe it's just me because I personally feel like Dylan White and like Dominic Brazil, I'm not saying they're world beaters or like they deserve, but they were just like, I rate like the undefeated hungry young lions because those guys are starving to get any kind of competition. They train their butts off. And I just feel like those are some solid wins. And so like, in terms of Joshua and Molina has a chance. Like, you're right. Like, what Eric Molina has done up to this point to come back and bounce back from Wilder, it's good. But I think Joshua, I'm obviously going to pick Joshua. He's just too good of a boxer. Like, I really rate Joshua's boxing up there. He's very, I don't know, he's just really textbook. Like, I just, his stance is just, like, very balanced. Like, he throws every shot. He puts his hands right back to his guard. It's 100 out, 200 back in. Like, I just like watching Anthony Joshua fight. It's going to be a good fight, though. It'll be good for him. And then, like I said, Wilder, he's not ducking anyone. I mean, he calls out everyone. I would like to see the Joshua fight. I think they'll make it maybe late 2017, maybe early 2018. But that's all I really got for you in terms of that. And I'll see you later on in the afternoon.
All right, Class Inbound. Listen, for people out there saying that there's no objectivity, listen, I'm picking Joshua to win. I'm just respecting what a guy like Molina is doing.
Ness is really putting himself out there with that one, 100-1.
I'm just saying, listen, if we can respect guys who won a couple of hundred amateur fights, why can't we respect a guy that really doesn't have an amateur background and continues to get world title fights? He's not getting blown out. You know what I mean? It's not like he's a pushover. This is not Miguel Cotto, James Kirkland coming off a 2-year layoff, which we will be doing an immediate reaction. So you can actually get, you know, the normal Thursday show plus this show plus a 5:30 show. This time, Ness is not dropping the ball this time. Yesterday with the overlay, you know, shit happens, but I won't be making those mistakes again. But that being said, listen, you know, I think Deontay Wilder, I understand. If I'm a fan or a critic, I say, come on, Wilder's talking shit about Joshua when Joshua has 17 fights, right? And that is the truth. That is the truth. When Wilder has 17 fights, he was feasting on D-level opponents too. But guess what? This is boxing. Boxing's a business. Wilder's not a dummy. What are you going to do? Wait for Joshua to get 30 fights to make the fight? No. Call him out now. Tell the world he's feasting on bums now so you can force the fight now. Anthony Joshua has a contract with Showtime now. Steven, who the fuck has he been fighting on Showtime? Please give us a list of the names. When the fuck is he going to fight Deontay Wilder? He got a deal with Showtime, right? Who obviously got him that deal through Eddie Hearn and Al Haymon.
How could he fight Wilder when Wilder's injured? And it's not Wilder's fault, but he's injured. He's
Wilder's
not really
ready for this year. Wilder's ready for this year.
You so know, in between, he's taking a fight.
No. You know who Joshua rather fight? He'd rather fight Vladimir Klitschko, the older guy.
So would I.
Unified.
The more accomplished guy.
Yeah, the more accomplished, guy.
Let's not have this argument right now.
Like champions do. Let's be real. I mean, Terrence Crawford fought Victor Postol.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
There'll be belts available.
Let me make a metaphor here. He fought Victor Postol. He wasn't known. But he was known as a tough fight. He wasn't known, but he was known as a tough fight. And he had the WBC. What did Crawford do? He fought him. And he got respect for unifying. So don't tell me, oh, he's fighting a more accomplished fighter. Get the fuck out of here. Yes, Vladimir is more accomplished than Deontay Wilder. But right now, he's old. Every fucking day, he's pulling out of a fight because of some torn calf muscle. And you, man, come on, bro. MD, I mean, you're always negative and it's all good.
No. So instead of you just yelling, just think logically for 1 second.
I'm yelling. So you're telling me the dangerous fight is not Deontay Wilder?
Okay. Let me talk because you don't do that. Let me know. You're going to tell me that at least competitive or at least a bigger fight, that if he was to fight Vladimir Klitschko next, that wouldn't be a bigger fight over there than Deontay Wilder. You're going to tell me that. Considering that that Vladimir Klitschko has the Eastern European fan base. Obviously, Anthony Joshua has the UK fan base. It would sell out 80,000. It'd be a huge pay-per-view fight, do millions upon millions of dollars. Are you going to tell me that alone does not put him above Wilder as far as big fights? Because Wilder is not that big compared to Klitschko.
Okay, guys, so he signed that deal with Showtime in early May of 2016. Since then, he has only fought Dominic Brazil so far. And it's been generalized as a multi-fight deal. So I don't know specifically how many more fights he has with Showtime.
It was supposed to be a 3. Type in 3 and see if that comes up. It's supposed to have been a 3-fight deal with Showtime, which means we get no Wilder fight. Now, I don't see how I'm not being logical, MD.
Just answer my question. Is it not a bigger fight for him to fight Wilder next? Or for him to fight Klitschko next?
A bigger fight in terms of economics?
And also, there's additional belts on the line, too. You talk about unifying belts.
If Vladimir Klitschko gets one of those vacant titles.
We just discussed the fact that, the WBA, right? They allowed him to fight.
He doesn't have it, though.
Doesn't matter. It's going to be available. So he's going to get a belt, and it's going to be a bigger fight. And Vladimir Klitschko is a bigger name. And Vladimir Klitschko has the better resume. And Vladimir Klitschko only lost to Tyson Fury. Well, and Deontay Wilder's best one is Jermaine Stavern.
Who's more vulnerable?
Stop the bullshit biasness. Continue.
Who's more vulnerable? You tell me. Just be honest, and we can move on.
What do you mean who's more vulnerable?
If you're a promoter, who do you pick for your fighter? Which fighter is more vulnerable, Deontay Wilder or Vladimir Klitschko?
Are you asking who has a better chance to beat Anthony Joshua?
No, I'm asking you, who does Joshua have a better chance to beat, and why that would be the reason that they're not going to unify with Wilder next and instead do the Vladimir Klitschko fight, which is okay. Anyway, MD, we need to move on.
No.
Listen, it's okay.
The bottom line is I don't know. But at the end of the day, if you lose to Klitschko, who only lost to Tyson Fury, who is a future Hall of Famer, who has proven, your career may go on. Now, exactly. If he gets knocked out by Wilder, exactly. It might not go
knocked
on.
Knocked out by Wilder, it's over. The hype train is over, derailed, stopped. That is my point, but it's okay.
And it works both ways, too. For if Wilder gets knocked out by Joshua, the hype train is over, it ends.
No, it ain't, because Joshua's the one calling out Anthony Joshua. Deontay Wilder's the one calling out Anthony Joshua. Joshua in interviews is consistently saying, I'm not ready yet. Don't call me champ. Come on, dog, get out of here.
You're telling me that he needs more years to get ready for Wilder than the years ready for Klitschko.
I'm not telling you. Check the interviews, not me.
All right, let's move on.
He's got a U.S. television deal. Why isn't he coming out in his post-fights asking for the fighter that he wants? Come on, man. You want me to stop being...
You're telling me that he has an opportunity to make a higher legacy fight and a more money fight, but he should fight Wilder, huh? Right? So, fuck out of here, Ness. Bias bullshit.
So you're telling me we're in terms supposed to give Terrence Crawford all the credit that we give for doing the same thing that you're telling Joshua not to do with Wilder. He did it with Postal. In your opinion, Deontay Wilder is Postal, the dangerous, less named fighter. Wilder, Klitschko is more accomplished. He's a bigger name. It represents a bigger fight, yada, 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 in your point. So why you ducking Postal? The way you say Danny duck Postal.
I don't see someone. He moved out of the division to avoid a fighter. This is not the same thing.
Forget that.
Terrible analogy.
Metaphor, brother. Horrible. No, it's a metaphor. It's an analogy. Excuse me.
It reminds me of Isaac Chalumba all over again.
No.
Isaac
Chalumba. Wilder. Is Postal in this situation calling out the champion? Is he not? He's not.
Okay.
All right. Whatever. We'll move on. Amin, talk to me.
Yo, what's good, fellas? Molina is definitely going to be Joshua's biggest challenge to date. Molina definitely comes to the ring with a lot more experience. And I'm picking Joshua too. Based on the power aspect. But at the same time, people are foolish if you don't think Molina brings something unique to the table out of all the competitors Joshua has faced or has not faced. You know, I ain't trying to say he had a necessarily easy road. He had a similar road as a lot of heavyweights that's coming along, between, 16, 17, 18, 19 fights. But like I said, at this point, Molina will expose him for all the things that we don't get a chance to see about his game. So if Molina lands that overhand right, we're going to see what's up with his chin. We're going to see what it's like against somebody that's actually punching back against. I think Dillon White was the only person he fought that really punched back. So it's going to be a good fight. Joshua's going to pull it out. That's all I got, fellas.
All right. He's right about that, because I'm telling you, I went back and watched that Brazil fight, and boy, it took him forever to let his hands go. And as soon as he did, Joshua clapped him with a good left hook. I think we might have our neighbor in Baltimore.
It's Baltimore, gentlemen. The gods will not save you.
443, you're up.
What's up, man?
What's going on?
No, man, I just wanted to say I think a lot of people sleeping on John Molina. I mean, not John Molina. Who's this?
Slug? Name?
What'd you say?
What's your name?
Joe Vaughn. Smoking Joe. Hello?
We're here. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just think people sleeping on Molina. I think Anthony Joshua, he has some experience, but not as much as people think he has. He only have a handful of fights against a couple of C and D opponents, if you ask me. I think Deontay Wilder would easily beat Joshua in a 12-round fight. He might stop him. I think Anthony Joshua is too stationary. I think Molina is going to come at him with angles and move a little bit and expose him for that. I don't think he has all the skills everybody think he has. I think he's going to win the fight, yeah, once he figure Molina out. But up until he figure Molina out, I think he's going to be losing.
Dan, Smoking Joe.
Hold on. Is this Smoking Jay Franklin, or do I have you confused with another one of our callers?
No, this is Smoking Joe Blow. This is Smoking Joe Blow.
So are you a first-time caller?
No. First-time caller.
All right.
First time hearing the show.
What?
Oh, so you are. See, that I knew that's the reason why I didn't have you on my list. Okay, cool.
First time hearing the show. You've never heard this show before?
Never. I just was on YouTube looking up some Terrence Crawford highlights, and this popped up.
Wow. Man, you came on a good day because we're giving you two more shows throughout the day.
I know. You better subscribe to the YouTube channel, brother, because we're going to do an immediate reaction to Miguel Cotto, who's going to be fighting James Kirk.
And if you've never heard this before, we've had Eric Molina on the show before, and we've also had a lot of these other contenders on the show before, too. So yeah, I'm glad you found us.
So do you think Eric Molina gets stopped easily?
Well,
no, I don't know, man.
If Joshua comes out as fast as he did in the Brazil fight, all he's got to do is turn up what he did in the Brazil fight first round just a little bit more, and maybe, because he was throwing big left hooks in that first round, and Molina has been caught cold in the first round before, even though it was a long time ago. You know, Areola did it to him in the first.
But is Joshua going to be able to get up to do that to a Molina when he was mentally prepared for a Klitschko? He just got done beating Brazil, who was considered at the time the top American heavyweight. And now he's going to be fighting, you know, a Molina who some
like. He was never mentally prepared to Klitschko. And I stand by my remarks that Eddie Hearn.
Well, I'm asking Smoking Joe.
The whole time. Okay. Well, I'll ask you, caller. Do you know that this fight is happening because, according to Eddie Hearn, the Klitschko fight didn't happen because Klitschko wasn't allowed to take the WBA fight and all those other things. And it is a pay-per-view fight over in the UK.
When do you think Anthony Joshua is going to come to the US and fight? And when he does, who do you think he's going to fight?
I think he's avoiding VADA testing, to be honest, but that's my opinion. That's not the Boxing Voices opinion. That is Boxing MD's opinion. So I think that he is on some shit.
According to MD, he's never going to fight in the U.S. because his next fight should be Vladimir Klitschko, who, let me tell you, doesn't have the WBC, and you must do VADA for that WBC belt.
And that is one thing that I give Eric Molina and Wilder the utmost credit for, is they are clean because they are doing year-round VADA testing. And I don't know if we discussed this on a previous show, but you could go on BoxRec now. When you look up a fighter's name, you could see on a little tab below if they're enrolled in year-round VADA testing or they're not. And Eric Molina is, and Anthony Joshua is not. So I think that's a great thing for the sport of boxing, that we could know in a dirty sport who is attempting to be clean.
So do you think Anthony Joshua is on the juice?
I mean, do you think so? I just, in my opinion.
I do not. There's a bunch of heavyweights.
I just think he's a bodybuilder type guy. I think he focused more on having muscles.
Well, you can see his workouts. You can see his workouts. He's very public with his workouts, and he doesn't do the typical boxing workout. And not to mention, there's plenty of heavyweights who've been notoriously muscular like that. I mean, look at Tim Bradley, for God's sake. He's not even a heavyweight, and look how brolic he is, and Andre Berto.
Are you talking about like Evander Holyfield, who was tied to Balco steroids? Is that what you're talking about?
Powerlifting. He said that wasn't good for his boxing, though. It made him tight and stiff.
said once he started, once he stopped power, even Birdo said that. He said once he stopped powerlifting, he could throw his punches more.
Birdo, another dude who was tied to sketchy.
I want to thank you really quick for calling in, brother. I got to get to some other callers. We do have a bunch of callers here hitting on the line. Remember, you guys, I even need to go out to some of my patrons here. Azim, talk to me on Skype, brother.
Hey, Ness, how are you, man?
All good.
Yeah, for this AJ fight, I've got AJ, obviously, being from the UK.
All right, why? Other than him being from the UK, come on.
I was watching this interview, and I heard that Eric he's only had 30 days like training for this fight, so. I don't really fancy his chances.
Yeah, Carl, do you have any idea how long he's been over there too?
Wait, but he has 30 days since he's officially been given like notice from Eddie Hearn, but he was in shape. He was in camp with Wilder preparing Wilder for Povetkin. You know, he's been in other camps. He was in shape, like I said. He even bought a gym in the interim and he's been posting plenty of workout footage on his social media. I don't believe for a chance that this guy was not in shape. Was he tip top? Probably not. But was it hard to get where he needed to get for fight night? I don't think so. Not in my opinion.
Yeah, that's my main reason. I'm not really heard of Eric Molina before, so that's kind of another reason why I'm choosing Anthony Joshua.
Oh, well, Joshua is he's the obvious pick. No one is saying that Molina. No one is saying Molina's a live underdog, but I think
he's 100-1.
He poses a threat. Is he really?
He's anywhere between 40-1 to 100-1.
Come on. Don't say anywhere. Find out the facts.
Those are the facts. Look them up. I've looked them up before.
Okay. Well, there you go. Those are the facts.
And when someone's that low of an underdog, I mean, like I said, I don't know what Buster Douglas was, but again, to compare Buster Douglas to Eric Molina is very disrespectful to Buster Douglas.
Hey, man.
Don't laugh. BoxRec King, look up who Buster Douglas beat before he got in the ring with Mike Tyson, who had a drug problem.
Look where Eric Molina's at. You don't know where he's going to be at Saturday night. Azim, let me get to some other callers. We got another friend here. Jay Bizzle, talk to us.
Yo, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. I got AJ to win the fight in between six to eight rounds. He's going to knock him out easy. Not really a big fan of this fight, but obviously we know how Eddie Hearn was trying to sell the Klitschko fight to us. But in my opinion, a lot of people knew that the fight between Klitschko wasn't going to happen until 2017 anyway. Also, I don't know if you guys heard an interview with Eddie Hearn mentioning about AJ fighting Wilder in the States late 2017. So maybe
sign me up.
Maybe thinking of having that fight then, and then maybe push when Joshua knocks out Wilder, have the rematch in Wembley summer 2018.
Sign me up for the rematch when Wilder knocks out Joshua in Alabama. We're going to have some good barbecue out there, baby. I can't wait.
No, watch. When AJ beats Wilder and we have the rematch at Wembley, that's when you can come and do the UK appreciation night.
Listen, you're right. We are going to do it in the UK, and it will be Wilder Joshua, since Wilder is such a true champion that he loves traveling to his other opponents' countries to take their titles from them. Not like Joshua, who's fighting at home.
But you know he's gonna be leaving with a bronze medal. AJ still gonna stay gold.
I hear you, man. I love it. Hey,
last thing before I go, I just like to say people are gonna realize this coming year that Dillian Whyte is gonna be probably a big mark in the heavyweight scene.
Oh yeah, you're picking him to win.
In his rise up. I think so.
You know that yesterday we had a show on that, and everyone picked. Everyone was picking Chisora a lot. I mean, a lot of people picking Chisora.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people just picked it because they saw how angry he got, and it was like, oh, you know. But I think if you look, Dillian, he's serious. He's just ready.
How do you feel like he looked against David Allen, though? Like, Well, I've seen that fight. Like,
you're a bit off topic, so I'm going to hit you with the gun because we got to go. We got to run. I mean, this is
– Joe, thumbs up.
All right, thumbs up is right. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit us with a thumbs up. We got a lot of people listening, a lot of people watching. We need those thumbs up to correlate with the number of watchers. Where do we go next, Steven? Is it 904?
No, you got to go to Suleiman. Suleiman's been waiting.
Suleiman the Scholar. Suleiman, how are you doing, my friend?
He's probably mad because you dissed Brazil, and Brazil's got a good win over Amir Mansour. Yeah,
Suleiman can never be mad at me. Yes, Suleiman, we hear you. Why you always say five hellos? We always hear you.
Yeah, man. So this guy, he looks kind of fluid. He's getting a lot of sparring. Eric Molina. I think the fight is going to be much better. It's going to probably go the distance because, I mean, as two people are saying, Anthony Joshua is he's very muscle bound. He's very, you know, he has a bodybuilder's body. You know, I don't think he's doing that much road work because he wouldn't be that big if he was doing road work and he was doing the mix. He probably works out, but he doesn't like. I don't think he's doing enough road work, and he's not here in the mix. I mean, on the mix or the double and back because it would create a lot of sweating. He wouldn't have all that mass. He has a tremendous amount of mass. He probably realized I'm knocking you out in the first three rounds. So Eric Molina has to just boxing move for the first three rounds. I mean like a nice boxing match, like, you know, like a little bit like what Buster Douglas did. He boxed and moved, tie him out, and take him into deep waters in the late rounds, and just you know, most probably he'll gas out, and you know he is a star over there, and he'll probably lose by decision or something like that. Because they'll probably give him the decision if it goes the distance, but he will become a high commodity in the heavyweight division. And never know, he might just win it. If he wins the unanimous decision in England, that's gonna be the biggest thing. You know what I mean? But I think he's gonna go the distance, boss, because he's getting a lot of sparring. He's not the same fighter that fought Deontay Wilder. Everybody knows that now. He's getting the sparring from world class sparring partners. He's beating world class fighters. I mean, even though some of them are on the shade down, like Adamic. But you know, he has a great chance to become to impress all of us.
Suleiman.
And you have a great day. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. You always say that we don't give you enough time around here. We're gonna give you some more time. I wanna ask you, since some of the callers have been questioning Eric Molina, saying that he's only had 30 days to prepare, I think that he's been in fairly decent shape from what I've been seeing, but because he said that already, and that's what's quoted in the media, do you think that it would be interesting to see him on weigh-in day, or does weigh-ins not really represent much since it's a heavyweight and you don't, you know, you just weigh in anyway?
It doesn't represent that much because he's probably doing the road work. He's getting the sparring. I mean, to tell the truth, you don't need too much training to fight Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua is a stationary heavyweight champion. The reason he got the
belt, that's a little disrespectful.
He got to pump the jab. It's the truth, though. He got that belt because it was taken away from Tyson Fury. If Tyson Fury would not have been stripped for that belt, he would be
Okay, and I agree that he seems a little stationary, and with all that muscle, there is a question in his cardio, right? But you cannot say that he lacks some type of technique and some type of power that doesn't necessarily exist in the heavyweight division universally.
Opponents. Also, if you look at his fight,
That is the round, yo. You can't throw punches after the bell, Suleiman. Come on, stick around. We'll be back at 5:30. We'll be having an immediate reaction show to Miguel Cotto. He's going to be fighting James Kirkland live on HBO.
But Ness, you know what the real question is, and this, we could discuss this later, is I don't know how the fuck Andy Ruiz Jr. has that body as a pro athlete. That's the weird.
Well, you should have been here yesterday. Unfortunately, MD did have an emergency. You know, doctors always be called in. But we did discuss that. You can check out our Andy Ruiz, Joseph Parker.
He's looking like a Mexican Michael Moore. You know what I'm saying? Shit's terrible.
Hey, so was Suleiman picking Eric Molina, or was he just saying bad things about Anthony Joshua?
I'm sure he'll call back in and give us his details at 7 p.m., guys, because we're also doing our normal, you know, prediction show on Thursday, 7 p.m. tonight, so all you guys can get your picks. That's why we're doing this, to condense it, you know, get done with our stuff earlier, may open up these phone lines for you guys. So if you like that we're out here, working overtime. He got the doctor taking off a class. He could be somewhere taking a final or something like that. The guy's got to get that PhD. Hit that thumbs up. Let's keep these phone lines moving. We're going to get to 9.
Hey, real quick. I got a quick update for us. I tried to look up the 3-fight deal with Showtime that Anthony Joshua has. I'm not seeing anything about that. I did see a reference that Klitschko had a 3-fight deal to HBO, and that is up. So that's what kind of makes it open for negotiations with Joshua, although he does have good standing with HBO, so people expect that there might be a little bit of difficulty. If there's anybody out there who does have information or know of a link about Anthony Joshua, only a 3-fight deal, but everything I've seen, even on ESPN, I wasn't seeing anything specific to 3 fights on HBO. On Showtime. Maybe you got a press release or something, Ness, and you read it in an email. Also, Matt, the TBV editor, he was on the line earlier, but he had a dip. He said, just a quick fun fact, Joshua's last 4 opponents were all undefeated. What top 10 boxer in any division is fighting 4 undefeated boxers in a row 9 days nowadays? So thanks,
respect
Matt.
Respect the champ. Respect the champ is what he's saying. Shout out to Matt. On the
Triple check-in. G straight taking O's. You know that.
Shout out to Matt on the check-in all the way from Akron, Ohio.
No. That's not that Matt. No, this is the Matt from Hunter? This is the other Matt. Yeah, this is Hunter.
Hunter all the way
SoCal.
In SoCal.
He's been sparring Paulie. You know, I hope, you know.
Let me get to 904. Are you a first time caller?
What's up? What's up? This is Jamar from Jacksonville.
Jamar, how long have you been listening to the show other than just today?
Probably like a couple of months, maybe. I don't know. I think when I first started, you had like only like 2,000 subscribers.
Oh, damn. So that's
I was just up there the other day by Amelia Island, right by you. I live in Gainesville, so shout out to you.
It's been more than a couple of months, my bad.
Yeah, that's a long time if it was only when we had 2,000. We're trying to get to that 40,000, so we need you people to hit that subscribe button. It's over here. Hit that subscribe button. Jeez Louise. All right, so your name again is?
Jamar.
Jamar from Jacksonville, Florida. Put him down, Steven. Listen, I want, since you've been listening for that long, you obviously know everything. I'm going to go ahead and give you this first-time caller intro. You're no longer an amateur, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Jamar.
From Jacksonville, Florida, the undefeated 0-0. I mean, come on, give us something. But talk to us, Jamar. Anthony Joshua, Eric Molina, give us your prediction.
I feel virtually like Molina has no chance of winning this fight. I feel like Anthony Joshua's opposition is just like, it's pretty bad lately, but I kind of get it. Like, Anthony Joshua, he has to fight his way up to the ranks. He has to get his names out there and then fight the people he want to fight. At first, I thought they just fought Eric Molina into like tune-ups for like Vladimir Klitschko versus Deontay Wilder, but I really think this is like a bad matchup. Molina, his boxing skills are underrated, but I don't feel like he has a chance in beating like Anthony Joshua. I think he gets stopped in the fourth round. I go with fourth.
All right, Jamar. Well, you've been listening.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you remember when there was a ESPN fight up in Jacksonville? I went to it. It was Sergio Moro. Were you at that fight?
No, I didn't actually go to that fight.
Yeah, boxing was in Jacksonville one time. I remember that. But, yeah, I mean, I wish boxing goes back to that area because they used to have fights up there, you know. So, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate you being a first-time caller and listening. Oh, go ahead.
Oh yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you. But I feel like if Eric Molina, if he's gonna win, he would have to like deploy like a boxing style that suits him, because like he could like outbox Anthony Joshua, but I don't like to put too much emphasis on kicking and moving, because I feel like that's only for the boxers like the Peps, the Mayweathers, and like Fennell Whitaker. Sometimes big guys are not able to do it, because I think the only fighter to really do it with success is probably like Ali, and that's pretty much it. Everybody else, they couldn't move as much. Eric Molina, I think he could, but he's irresponsible with his defensive skills. He has to be more polished to fight somebody like Joshua. But I feel like he gets knocked out in the fourth round.
All right, Jamal. Listen, I want to say thank you for calling in. I'm happy to say that with your call now, even though you've been listening for years, with your call now, we are increasing the listenership in Florida. But now you're going to make MD's head bigger and think it's all because of him. I want to get to some more calls. We got a
never said that. Not everybody's ego is as big as yours, Ness, and I don't think.
Well, I have a big ego. That's why I work on shoulders a lot to be able to carry this head. Steve. Are you a first-time caller on Skype? Steve? Skype? Oh, he only wanted to listen. He didn't want to talk. All right, Steve, it's all good. Let me see. We got 508. Is that Boston? 508. First-time caller?
Yeah, this is Anton.
Anton, how long have you been listening to TBV?
I called earlier. I've been listening to you guys since February. Found you on Stitcher.
Sweet. All right. So you know the tradition around here. We're going to give you this first-time caller intro. We want you to introduce yourself. Give us some enthusiasm. Don't be like Jamal from Janesville. Jamal, you got to step up that intro, man. Whenever you're ready, we're going to give you a remix. So, all right, Anton, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Letting him go in the 580, Anton the Annihilator.
Now that's what I'm talking about, Anton the Annihilator. Let's do it, baby. So annihilate this preview and prediction of Eric Molina versus Anthony Joshua. How does Molina win?
Well, I don't think he can win. I think Anthony Joshua is a special fighter, and he's going on to possibly an elite level, and I think it will go a little longer. His average fights are about 2.5 rounds per fight if you do the math. So I think he really will go past 4.5 rounds. I think he wants rounds. He would be wise to try to seek rounds with good opposition like Molina. If he wants to face Klitschko and Deontay Wilder, he's going to have to put in some fights where he goes the distance. He gets in deep water. He gets tested. He's forced into a corner. He's dealing with different styles. And, I think he will get a KO, but I think out of all of his fights so far, this could be one that could be a decision, but I would still say Anthony Joshua for the KO.
Would you say this is Anthony Joshua's best opponent till date?
Yeah, I really think so. As far as, facing a heavyweight like Molina that has he's faced another American from St. Louis. I'm forgetting his name right now. But he faced that American from St. Louis, and he didn't really present any problems. I think Molina's definitely knows that he has a chance to become the first, Mexican-American heavyweight champ, and he's going to have to go out. He's going to have to pressure Anthony Joshua if he's going to have even a chance. I do agree with MD with, talking about Anthony Joshua's style being very robotic. And I think Molina, if he pressures him enough, it will kind of force him to maybe adapt and kind of create a slickness that we haven't seen yet from Anthony Joshua, other than, him being, very straightforward and textbook and robotic.
Well, Anton,
I want to do a big shout out to the Bob Father. Happy birthday, Bob Arum. Thank you for Lomachenko and all these great fighters you gave us. And 85 years young, still fighting hard, still giving us great fighters. And big shout out to the UK fans. I love watching all those fights over there. I wish Showtime would actually show the whole card here in the States, because it's great to watch during the day. They have great atmosphere, great fans, and I wish we could have some of that here back in the States.
Well, Anton the Annihilator, we are very happy that you made your professional debut today. That was a great call.
And Ness, the caller mentions that, wish they showed the fights. They don't always put up the most competitive fights, but what they do is they at least, if you look at the lineups of their fighters, Matchroom puts all their stars on a card. So this is how you build the fighter, and Eddie Hearn is the master at doing that. I mean, you see the amount of names that are on the card. Obviously, they're fighting overmatched opponents, but it's a step in the right direction, right?
That it is. And Anton, man, you know, hardcore boxing fans, don't wait for the networks. Hashtag Tiger Stream. You can always get that savings using the coupon code The Boxing Voice, because I'm telling you, that's what I'm doing. And I've been, you know, on my social media, I've been consistently putting out. I mean, look at all the fights that I watched last weekend. Without that, it would be almost impossible. I mean, actually, you can get it the next day, but then, you know, your Sundays are ruined.
Do you know Ness has yet to use the word Eurobum since I've been doing this as a co-host? So
no, and before that, listen, education is power. And that's what Tiger Stream does for me. So we have a video here on our YouTube channel. You can look it up and see exactly what sort of power it gives you as a boxing fan. 510, you're live on TBV. Is this your first time calling in?
No, Ness, this is Donald. Actually, I'm calling off my other phone because I didn't even charge my other phone up. Oh. But
okay,
I
Donald.
Was
going to
say about, I was listening to what you and MD were saying, and I think that both of you guys got a valid point. Like, I think Ness has a valid point about saying that Anthony Joshua, he's not ready for Wilder, and he needs to, you know, step the competition up a little bit. But I don't think they want to push him into that fight. And also, MD has a valid point, too, because since Joshua's from the UK and he's in the UK, it is a bigger fight for Klitschko, and it's definitely more money involved. And, of course, we know that he's going to go for the money fight because he's got Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn is the man for the money. So, you know, maybe they feel like, get the big money fight, the Klitschko. If he beats Klitschko in an orderly fashion, then maybe that does prepare him a little bit more for Wilder. Although, me personally, I don't think Joshua could beat Wilder because, like how you're discussing about how Joshua, he's more like a bodybuilder type. He's not in the – his body is not like a heavyweight boxer. It's more like a weightlifter or something like that. And with Wilder being a tall, slim heavyweight with a hard fucking punch – he's going to get in there and slither and move and you know, he's going it's going to be problems for Joshua. And I could see Wilder in there slipping to the left and the right and hitting Joshua with something big and even getting a stoppage in this fight, you know? What do you guys think about that? Do you guys kind of see that fight going that way when it happens?
Yeah, listen, I hear what you're saying, and I agree that obviously I said that Joshua is a little robotic, but at the end of the day, Wilder seems to be more athletic, but I think he doesn't necessarily at times seem like a natural boxer too. Like at certain times, Wilder seems like he learned boxing a little late and he uses his athleticism. So that's why I think that a healthy Tyson Fury might beat all of these guys because of his natural boxing ability and his quickness.
Also, I think that Eric Molina is Anthony Joshua's, you know, biggest test. Although I do believe Joshua will beat Molina, but I think that Molina is going to expose him in this fight. I think after we see this fight, it's going to be like, wow, Joshua beat him. Did you see what Molina did? Like, I think Molina's going to expose him a little bit. You know, I believe that Joshua will get the knockout and beat Molina. I see it being a late round knockout. I see, you know, I see it being a stoppage between the 8th and the 10th round for Joshua. I mean, kudos to him if he gets him out before 8. I see it going to like 8, 9, or maybe 10 KO. But I think Molina's going to put up a good fight with him, and I think Molina's going to expose him a little bit. And I think after this Molina fight, a little more of the heavyweights are gonna be more open to maybe wanting to fight Joshua, you know?
Do you bet, caller? Do you gamble? I'm not asking like to make a bet with me. Do you accessibility to online gamble? Go ahead.
Yeah, I bet on fighting.
Well, anybody who believes that he's going to take him more than 4 or 5 rounds, there's good money and good odds to be on the over for the bet. So if you guys believe that, those are good odds. So I'm throwing that out there, that the over is good odds.
I'm up for somebody who wants to make a bet with me that says that he'll get him out before 4. I'm up for a bet on that.
I may be up for it. Call into the show later and we'll talk.
All right, listen, okay. Donald, thank you for calling in. Obviously, we're going to have a show at 5:30, immediate reactions. We're going to be looking for your immediate reactions, and we're going to be giving our immediate reaction on the fact that not only is Cotto back after like a 15-month layoff, but he's also going to be fighting on pay-per-view. Now, if Daniel Jacobs, I also have some information on Jacobs. We might do another one, depending how much MD loves Triple G. We probably could squeeze in another show before 5:30 because I have some breaking news. My good friend Tom Lawford texts me today, and while ESPN is saying that there is a purse bid, I don't know. You're going to have to wait for me.
Can you just say, is it good or bad news?
You're going to have to wait for me to decide.
Is it good or bad news?
I didn't even text him, so I really got a chip on my shoulder. I'm feeling real fucking high on myself right now. I was fucking busy going from Jersey to Brooklyn, and boom, I got a message, and I was like, damn, would you look at that?
Good or bad news? Just answer that.
Don't worry about it. It all depends on, am I going to do a show? But I was like, would you look at that? It's the holiday season. So I credit Tom for being a man of the people, because that is what we do around here. This is the voice of the people. I want to go out to none other. Oh, Fish. Press one if you're in, Fish, because you're not in. So I don't know if maybe you're working and just listening. I don't want to get you in trouble. Maybe you got us open on the office over there. Shh, no more cursing. I'm sorry.
He pressed one earlier. I don't know if he got out of the queue intentionally.
Hey, Steven, while you
– Oh, he's back.
All right, there we go. Fish.
All right, we're going to him.
Fish bringing us all our fans.
What up, guys? What up? Yeah. Let me get out here. We got this win real quick. All right. Yeah, I got – of course, Josh is going to probably get that fight. But I think Molina going to do well. But he only way he's going to win in the UK, he's got to knock him out. If it goes 12 rounds and he exposed Anthony – He's not going to get the nod. That's what I got on that. I was in the queue last night, but I had to drop out. But I want Crawford to unify the
Well,
belt.
You could get that in. You could get that in tonight, Fish. Don't worry. You could get that in tonight, because tonight we're still going to be allowing you to give your picks on every fight. Yeah. We're just individualizing these shows because they deserve, you know, their proper.
I think Molina. Yeah, am I still going? Am I still going to talk to
you? You sure are. Go for it.
Yeah, I think Molina going. I think he's going to do pretty decent. You know, unless Anthony Joshua just, you know, hit him with a one hitter quitter, but I think he has the skills to stay away from that power, because he spars with the hardest hitting guy in the heavyweight division as of right now. So I think he's ready. I think he'll be fine. But he got it. Only way he's going to beat Joshua is to cripple him, knock him out. But he won't get a decision in the UK.
Well, as far as Klitschko?
That's all I really got. Come again?
He spars with Klitschko?
No, Klitschko, he got a loss on his record, so he's trying to bounce back from that. We're talking about Bomb Squad.
I hear you. And caller, how do you feel about what Wilder said about Joshua feasting on D-level opponents?
Yo, we got to get a jab sound bite for MD. Every time he calls someone caller, it's Fish.
I remember your name, Fish. Ness is trying to throw shade at me and the caller. So.
I feel like it's big brother, little brother right now. That's what I feel like. I feel like it's big brother, little brother. So you're going to keep picking on your little brother till your little brother steps up his game.
So you like it. So you're saying you like it. You like the shit talking.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it at all. Nope. I don't have no problem with it. Until he steps up and go one-on-one with his big brother, you know, he's going to keep chomping him. You know, he only got 17 fights. Well, Wilder got 36 fights with 34 KOs, something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, producer. But, you know, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's my call. Thanks for the time. I'm out here getting it. So I'll probably catch y'all tonight. Peace.
All right, Fish. Well, we have done it again, ladies and gentlemen. We want to thank everyone, obviously, who joined us. This has been your Anthony Joshua versus Eric Molina preview and prediction. But don't forget, for anyone that's listening to this in the future, present, or past, and you feel like you wanted to make your prediction in the future, present, or past, well, you still can, because technically we're taking our official predictions for that crow list at 7 p.m. Eastern time. But we're actually going to be back at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, as well to give you a Miguel Cotto versus James Kirkland HBO pay-per-view. I mean, HBO's damn right disrespectful at this point, guys. They didn't approve Pacquiao versus Vargas, who Vargas at the point, wasn't he undefeated at that? No, he had one loss to Bradley, at least, who's a pound-for-pound fighter or a top-10 fighter, right? And they rejected the Pacquiao versus Vargas, only to approve Miguel Cotto versus James Kirkland coming up. You know what? I'm supposed to be reacting at 5:30. Jeez Louise, Cotto, how do you keep being a diva? Anyway, listen, I am your host, Ness GTO. You can find me on social media at Instagram and Twitter at Ness GTO. And you can find my good co-host, The Good Doctor.
You can find me at BoxingMD1. And fuck political correctness. That fight's gayer than Miguel Cotto sleeping in a bed with a dude.
And you can find my producer, who makes sure that we have all your names down and you sound like part of the family because you are.
Yo, I am Stephen Calderon. I'm the producer. You can find me on Twitter at Calderon92 and on Instagram at sugar_steve.c.
Not because he's sweet, because he boxes. That's why. Listen, guys, we'll be back 5:30 later.